In the world today, millions of people have never heard of Jesus Christ. They've never encountered the life-changing power of the Bible. They've never walked into a church. Some have never even met a Christian. Though the work has been underway for more than 2,000 years, there are still individuals, villages, and even whole language groups that have never received the good news, and they've never experienced the blessings that it brings to their communities, their families, and their nations. They live and die without hope, without God, without peace. But now, in this generation, we have come to the end, when every human being on earth must hear of Jesus' name. People from every tribe and nation are welcomed into the kingdom of God. Our global work toward this goal is not finished. The great commission that Jesus gave his disciples, we are nearer to completing that mission today than at any time in history. He said that we must go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he commanded. He promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. You and I have the opportunity to join this vision and to be part of what God is doing in hearts across the world. In looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we must take seriously his command to share the good news with every person everywhere. We can be a part of the greatest movement of God's Spirit in history. And God is moving. He is changing lives. He is setting captives free. He is transforming families. He is renewing and reviving churches. New churches are being planted across the world today. He is sending forth his word to the very ends of the earth. The harvest, Jesus said, is plentiful. And the workers, well, he is raising new workers up every day to go forth. In America, in Asia, everywhere. All that remains now is for us to join what God is doing. To obey his call. To finish the great work. Millions are waiting. Welcome to Great Commission Radio with India Gospel League. I'm your host, Dan Jarvis. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus said that it was written that this message, the gospel, would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, that there is forgiveness of sins for those who repent. And one reason that I'm so excited to be a part of India Gospel League and its work is that that message is being proclaimed to all the nations and even to all the villages in India. And that's our goal, ultimately, is to see people from every village and every language group come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And one of the programs that India Gospel League offers for partners in North America to get involved with is to adopt a village to pray for and to support, both in the planting and nurturing of a church, but even beyond that, then into meeting some of the humanitarian needs that are found in that village. And I have with me in our studio today Becky, who is Sam Stevens' daughter. Sam Stevens, of course, is the president of India Gospel League. And his daughter, Becky, has been a great part of their ministry. She focuses some of her attention on the Adopt-A-Village program. And so I asked her to share with us just a little bit about how that works and how, as someone in the U.S. who's interested in making a difference across the world, how we can partner with a village and with a church planter in a village, ultimately to see God's kingdom grow. And so welcome, Becky. Thank you for joining us today. And I guess I'll just start off with kind of an obvious question, and that is, what is the Adopt-A-Village program and how does it work?
Well, Dan, thanks for having me here. The Adopt-A-Village program is a five-year development program that we can take a village and work in that village in a holistic way, touching the spiritual, social, economic, and political dimensions in that village, bringing about total transformation, or in other words, to really bring and extend God's kingdom in that village through the local church. If you look at India as a whole nation, it is a vast country, very diverse, and the challenges there can be very overwhelming. And yet you can take India and work with with it one village at a time. These villages are remote, and 80% of the country's population live in these remote and unreached villages that have pretty much no access to the outside world. Some of these villages, one could easily go and find no electricity, no running water, no proper drains, no education for the children, or any opportunities for employment for women. And so when we look at these challenges and when we see that these can be addressed through a church, then India Gospel League works alongside with the pastor and begins to work there. India is so much in the forefront of the world stage. 10 years ago, when I came here to the United States and talked about India, or maybe 15 years ago, people had an idea about India, but didn't know very much about the country. That's not the case today. You pick up the phone and you have to call a service center, and you're almost always talking to somebody in India. So people are very aware of the change, the development, the growth, and that's happening in India. But that's only one part of India, and it is only a small part of India. Only 20% of the population live in these urban areas that are accessible to the outside world, that have been affected with the changes that are happening in the rest of the world. The India that the India Gospel League is reaching out to is the one that's hidden behind the scenes, where 80% of the population live. This is the India that is in great need. And as challenging as it is a very doable thing to bring transformation into these villages, not because of what we are doing in these places, but simply because the Spirit is moving there in an unprecedented way. God is taking these villages. God is using the churches in these villages to make a difference in the communities, and we want to partner with Him where He's working.
So going into an Adopt-A-Village partnership, my understanding is that over a five-year period, the partnership would cost about $70,000. And in the Indian economy, that, of course, makes a massive impact, far more so than it would do in an American city. For people who have been living largely in an agricultural economy without a lot of the amenities that you mentioned, running water, electricity, one of the distinctives of India Gospel League is that we lead with the gospel and then bring those sort of the blessings that come along with it through the church that has been started. So how does that process work? Let's say we have a pastor who has a congregation of 20 or so believers, and they've been meeting, and now the Adopt-A-Village partnership begins. That pastor is provided the resources then to bring blessings into his village, like a water well or maybe a building for his congregation to meet in that can also double as a school or a center for just village life. How does the program operate? How is it? How do our resources end up in the hands of that pastor?
Mm-hmm. Well, we begin with, as you rightly pointed out, one of the first things that we do is go in and start teaching and training and equipping the local believers to understand the needs in their community, and then to be able to become the salt and light in the community. So that when these things are provided, they don't see it as coming from something outside of their village or from a source that they cannot identify with, but they're seeing that the Jesus people in their village are making a difference. And so oftentimes, you know, in the people have needs in the village, they approach the pastor, they approach the believers there and make their requests. And then in turn, the church is able to respond and provide leadership under these circumstances. And so we start with discipleship of the new believers, teaching and training and equipping them on how they can reach out. And then slowly we engage other people in the community, particularly women, to come alongside and train and equip them for some in education or literacy and skills training.
In late 2009, I had the opportunity to visit a village with you, Becky, that my church has been involved in adopting and sponsoring. And it really was amazing to see how sometimes missions, at least for Christians in the U.S., feels a little bit disconnected because, you know, you might put money in an offering plate or send it in an envelope to a mission agency, and then you really don't know. You just maybe see pictures of what happened. But to actually go and stand in the village where this work was being done was a fantastic experience for me. And it also, I think, enlarged my vision for what God is doing. And one of the things that I remember happening was that a village elder of some kind came and seemed to be approving of what was happening. So as a village is adopted and big transformations are happening on a spiritual level and on a practical physical level, do you find that the political leaders, the village elders, are they typically in favor of what's happening?
Certainly the Adoptive Village program is a partnership. It is a partnership between India Gospel League, the village pastor, the local church, a partnership with the local community, the local leadership there, political and other leaders there. It is a partnership with a church in the West or an individual here that feels called to be involved in this kind of a work. And all that we are able to do and accomplish in that village is through this partnership. All of the decisions that are made in terms of bringing in a well or education or literacy or healthcare, the people make that decision. The people make the choice of what they want and how they want it done. We don't go in and dictate it. And therefore, there's a greater reputation that we have in the eyes of the leadership there. And also, it builds credibility for the work and witness of the pastor in that village and the local believers there. So overall, it is a partnership. It is having people join hands together and come together to build God's kingdom and extend his reign there.
Have you ever run into a village where the people were, they didn't want it, they didn't want the development, or a village elder, you know, resisted somehow the work of the church?
Of course, there are instances when we do face some pushback from the people, especially since we lead with the gospel. We don't compromise taking the message of the gospel. We don't go in and provide humanitarian aid and then hope to somehow present the gospel. But we go in with the gospel first, and that is always going to have some pushback from the villages. But as people's lives are touched and changed and transformed, as their worldview is changing, people outside are looking at these new believers in a new light, in a new view, because they're saying, hey, you and I seem to earn the same, you know, $1 a day or $2 a day, but somehow you seem to have greater joy in your life than I do. You have a better perspective of all that's happening here in this village than I do. What is the secret? You know, tell me more about it. And that sort of breaks that barrier down, and we are able to go in. But also, as I said, as we go in with the Adoptive Village program simultaneously, we are able to teach and train and equip the believers to reach out into the community. And so again, as the faith of the believers is exemplified through their works, people respond better to the gospel message, and they know that there is tangible evidence of the kingdom of God here.
So how many Adoptive Village programs have been completed or in process right now?
We began the rural and community development work way back in the early 90s, and we sort of packaged it, so to speak, into an Adoptive Village program in the late 90s. And since then, God has allowed us to work in a little over 200 villages, bringing in holistic transformation.
So just by way of maybe specific example, can you think of a village that just sort of shines as a the ideal scenario where the partnership worked and the people were transformed, the church was grown, humanitarian aid was brought in, children were helped? You know, just when I read the documentation about Adoptive Village, it seems like in so many categories, blessings are being brought to that village. And so I wonder if maybe you have some stories of just how God has used that, things that you would say that you'd like to see multiplied across India.
The village of Chetty Chavdi comes to my mind. And it's a village in southern India, in the state of Tamil Nadu. And this is a village that was totally unreached. There was no Christian in that village. It was a village with high infant and maternal mortality, completely illiterate. There were absolutely no facilities for healthcare, a huge unemployment rate as well. And yet when we took on this village and we worked with the pastor there in that village, establish a church in that village. But today, it's a great model of seeing how the church has responded to the needs in the community and has continued to sustain the transformative efforts in that village. The church has brought in healthcare by way of medical clinics that are regularly conducted. Children in that village that did not have access to education once upon a time can now go go to a school, there is an active daycare and after-school programs for older children to come in and receive quality education. Women in that village are empowered. We have several women entrepreneurs there in that village that are doing very well. So it's a model village where change and transformation not only happened, but continue to happen, and as a result, changing the other villages in the surrounding area.
You know, one thing I liked when our church adopted a village is that India Gospel League sent us a spreadsheet of the intended plan from year one, year two, and how things kind of layer on top of one another. And it's not like things all start in one day. It does take a while for all these things to come to fruition. But it's certainly well planned out. And as you said, it adapts to the needs of that particular village and the desires of those villagers. From the perspective of one who wants to share Jesus' love around the world, both in the form of the gospel, first of all, and then in terms of just helping people in need. One thing that to me is exciting about Adopt-A-Village is that it gives a person an opportunity to have a part in kind of all of the above. So you say, boy, I do want people to have clean water, and I do want children to be cared for and have literacy so that they can succeed in their lives, but I also want a strong church to be established, and I want to support work not just in a secular sense, not just to maybe feed the poor and leave it at that, but I really want the gospel to be a part of all that. When you adopt a village, you are in essence participating in that holistic transformation of people that live all the way on the other side of the world from us in America, and many of the people whom we would never meet personally, hopefully until we go to heaven. It's such an opportunity to have an impact on people's lives that will then really change generations. Have you noticed in villages that have been adopted maybe years ago, and the process with India Gospel League has already been completed, have you noticed any examples where a village then starts to extend the gospel to neighboring villages?
Almost always. That's the deal we start with in the first place. We don't just pick up a village and adopt it and then say, okay, we're done with you after 5 years. But right from day one, the teaching is very clear that they in turn need to pick up another village, adopt another neighboring village, and establish a church there, teach and train their believers. Of course, they would have the India Gospel League support and expertise to come alongside and help train them. But right at the beginning of the Adoptive Village program, we encourage the pastor and the believers to select another village where they would initiate church planting and begin their discipleship process there as well.
So just thinking about the math for a moment, you mentioned that there are maybe 600,000, maybe more villages in India. Many of those would certainly be in need of the kind of changes that Adopt-A-Village can bring. And you also mentioned that in the last decade or so, maybe two decades, that as far as sponsorships of villages, there have been about 200 that have gone through this process. Now, many more than that, of course, have churches or have little pieces and parts of what the Adopt-A-Village program might bring to their village. But when I think of 600,000 villages, and we've worked this process through with 200 of them, that's a strong start, but there's obviously a lot more work to do. If there were donors here in America who wanted to help make possible more Adopt-A-Village partnerships, how many villages would you say that India Gospel League would be ready to enter into with this whole package of Adopt-A-Village?
Our experience with the Adopt-A-Village program since 98 has built capacity within us to handle a larger volume of the Adopt-A-Village projects going forward. And so with the need that we face in India right now, IGL can easily do about 15 to 20 villages at a given time.
So if an individual or church or even a small group wanted to pool their resources together to adopt a village over a five-year period, a $75,000 commitment works out to about $15,000 a year. So while that is obviously a lot of money, if we work together with others, that's very doable. So this is a way really to take some of the resources that God has entrusted to us and pass that on to people who are truly in need. Becky, for the villages that are in sponsorship now, is it common that someone from a church here would be able to go and see the village in progress? Does that typically happen?
As I said, the Adoptive Village program is all about the partnerships working, and we encourage our partners to come and be a part of this on the field, to see the village, to get acquainted with the people, with the pastor, with the new believers, and be encouraged by what God is doing there, and see for themselves, witness with their own eyes the transformation that's taking place in that village. So yes, we have had several of our sponsors who have come and visited the village. They've not just come and been a part of eyewitness trips, as we call it, but depending on their expertise and what they have to offer, they have come help serve in their villages. Some have been doctors who've come and provided medical help. Others have been teachers and pastors who've come and come help encourage pastors and lay leaders in the village, too.
What is that visit like? Let's say you make arrangements through the IGL North American office and you end up on the ground in India. You've landed, you've stayed your first night in a hotel, you've caught up with the jet lag, and you're ready to go and visit your adopted village. What would a visitor expect when they arrive?
Well, typically, we encourage people to come at least for 5 to 7 days on the ground. And this begins with an orientation to the ministry of the India Gospel League itself. As much as you may have heard about IGL or read about IGL and seen it in pictures, when you get on the ground, it's always important for you to take a look at the bigger picture there. And so the first day kind of is spent in orientation, getting to see the facilities there and ministry there on the mission base. And then probably on the second and the third day, we would travel to the village that is adopted and spend time with the pastor doing a prayer walk with the believers there. Often when we know that we have our sponsors visiting, the pastor is excited and they have a special service. People that want to be baptized are encouraged, and we have a special baptism service during that time. There's also a meeting that we set up for the sponsor to come and visit with local leaders in that village to interact with them. And then again, as I said, depending upon the expertise of the person and sponsor that's coming, we can provide some services there at the village to engage more hands-on.
There's obviously a lot of complexity and a lot of resources involved in bringing a village to a point where we would say that all of these goals have been accomplished and that really it has been transformed on an individual and family level, on a church level, and then practically, materially, medically, that things have been improved. As you put all of that together, what would you say the ultimate objective of Adoptive Village is?
I would say that the ultimate objective of the Adoptive Village program is to extend God's reign in that village, to build his kingdom, and with the life center there, make it a tangible evidence of the kingdom of God in that village. That would be our ultimate goal that we envision at the end of 5 years. For the other aspects of the work there, social aspects, economic aspect, health aspects, we do have some measurable goals. We have aligned ourselves to the United Nations Millennium Development Goals, the 8 goals, the 8 MDGs, as they call it. And we have drawn up our program and activities based on those goals so that we can measure ourselves at the end of 5 years or even quarterly and annually to make sure we're heading in the right direction. And so at the end of 5 years, we can in fact show the improvements that have been made in that village.
So how often would an American partner expect to hear from IGL regarding just kind of as how far are we along in those goals and how well is the work progressing?
The IGL India staff are constantly on the field evaluating, monitoring the success of the program, making changes, and constantly trying to receive feedback from the village people about the programs and how it needs to be changed to meet their needs. And so we do monthly evaluations, and it is sent to our sponsors on a quarterly basis.
Well, Becky, let's say that I'm ready to go. I'm ready to, I'd like to be a part of it. I'd like to adopt a village, or I'm going to talk my fellow church members into getting together. We're going to do this. What is the first step to getting involved?
I would say begin praying for India. India needs your prayer. Several of these battles and challenges need to be won on our knees. And I would encourage you to pray for India, because this is God's time for India. And of course, you can always hop onto our website, which is iglworld.org, and also contact our office here in Hudson. They can give you more information.
This program has been furnished by the India Gospel League of Salem, India, and Hudson, Ohio. To learn more about our work and to join in the vision, go to iglworld.org.